Will Congress drain the swamp of corruption, as the president-elect insists, or build a new swamp by quietly stripping the budget to defang the independent congressional ethics oversight operation in the House and Senate? Trump tweeted out today, with all that Congress has to work on, do they really have to make the weakening of the independent ethics watchdog, as unfair as it is, maybe their number one act and priority? Focus on tax reform, health care, and so many other things of far greater importance. Hashtag DTS drain the swamp. Well, they were listening. The whole ethics affair is now up in the air right now. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, says it's unclear where it's all going to land.
Well, John, just about 18 hours after House Republicans went behind closed doors and tried to make a quick and quiet move, dialing back on the Office of Congressional Ethics, the OCE, they've reversed themselves. They went back into conference just 10 minutes before the 115th House was going to convene to pass a new rules package. And then they came out just a couple of minutes later, having reversed themselves. Here's Trey Gowdy of South Carolina. You remember him from the Benghazi committee. And I caught up with him just as he walked out the door.
First rule of Fight Club. You don't talk about what happened in Fight Club.
Now, come on now. You all decided to undo the changes to the OCE.
That portion of the rules package has been withdrawn, I think is the best way to phrase it.
Now, John, what Republicans wanted to do here was take the Office of Congressional Ethics, that's an independent ethics panel, and basically weaken it. The OCE has operated since March of 2008 when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker. After a whole bunch of ethics scandals where members went to jail, several members went to jail behind corruption charges, and Congress came up with this new system, largely because the House Ethics Committee, which is run by members of Congress and where members of Congress police themselves, was viewed to be inadequate and kind of feckless. So the OCE was independent. It had the ability to take complaints from the outside, from interest groups, from the public, even anonymously from the press, to investigate alleged ethical transgressions, rules violations, and even illegal activity on the part of members of the House. It was independent. Now, it didn't have the power to punish lawmakers, but it could issue reports. And once it reported to the Ethics Committee had to turn around and investigate, or if not, explain to the public why it wasn't investigating. Well, House Republicans wanted all of that to go away. They kept the OCE, but they wanted to move it pretty much under the skirt of the Ethics Committee. It still got to investigate stuff, but lawmakers, again, would have had control over what the OCE investigates. They wouldn't be allowed to issue their own reports anymore. They wouldn't be allowed to take anonymous complaints. There was a lot of reaction. Donald Trump tweeted that this was a bad move by House Republicans, and constituent reaction was overwhelming. Here's Charlie Dent. He's a Republican from Pennsylvania.
And I had cautioned some of my colleagues last night that that one provision would create quite a public stir. And it did.
So, John, the House convenes today. They're passing a rules package. Paul Ryan is elected the new speaker, of course, but they will do it without what proved to be controversial changes weakening to ethical oversight in the House of Representatives.
Lots of ceremonial sort of symbolic stuff to take care of today, administrative swearing in stuff to take care of today, and then they get down to Obamacare.
This is most important in the Senate. If the Senate can get a budget going today and this week and they vote on it in a certain way, and I won't dull your brain with how this works, John, they can wind up repealing Obamacare with just 50 votes. You don't need the 60 votes that you would ordinarily need to overcome the filibuster in the Senate. This process is called reconciliation, and the process starts today. But it's not going to happen overnight even when they vote on repeal. There's going to be this long, drawn-out repeal period that Republicans in Congress haven't decided on yet themselves. It could be 2 years. It could be three. They could even delay this until after 2020. Republicans are increasingly sensitive about the political liability of actually repealing the thing they've been trying to repeal for 7 years. And they also know that once they repeal health care for the first time, Republicans own health care. They have to come up with a replacement plan. They don't agree on what that should be. They don't agree on how many people they should try to cover or for what cost and exactly how to do this. Republicans are looking for a cushion to immunize themselves politically from taking away benefits and trying, they hope, to put something better in its place that people will like. And this is what you're seeing, John, when you step back from this, is the rush to get a couple of things done among congressional Republicans. They have two top priorities, both of which start right away. Repealing Obamacare is number one, of course. Big tax reform is the other one. Republicans have been wanting to do this for years. Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell want to move quickly. They want to get these cars in the garage fast because that first 100 days is key for any president. And it's especially key, frankly, for a president that politically is as weak as Donald Trump. He's at a 40% approval rating right now. We know that he didn't win the popular vote. Regardless of tweets and what the Trump transition says about his historic win or his strength, a low approval rating like that taking office is gravity. And you can't deny the law of gravity, and that makes people on the Hill want to move quickly in the first 100 days to get these things done, and that's what they're doing.
We're also going to see today how serious John McCain is about investigating the Russian involvement, alleged Russian involvement, with the hacking in the election.
Look, we all know how Democrats feel about this. They're enraged, and they feel like it's a major liability for Republicans and for President-elect Trump. But you've got a number of Republicans, especially in the Senate, the defense hawks, who want major investigations. This week, John McCain, who is chairman of the Armed Services Committee, says they're coming right out of the gate with a major hearing on Russian hacking and cyber assaults on U.S. democracy. So McCain is not taking Donald Trump's advice to get on with our lives and sort of forget about hacking. And this stuff could come up in substantive ways, too. Another thing that gets started right away are hearings on some of Donald Trump's cabinet nominees. Now, they can't approve any of them because they're not officially nominated, of course, until Donald Trump is president on the 20th. But some of the hearings get started right away, and Russian hacking and Russian interference could become a broader issue in nominations like Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State, for all of the burnishing of his credibility as a great potential diplomat that the transition has been doing. There are signs that broader concerns over Russia, a reset with Russia, cozying up to Russia, or not taking Russian security threats seriously, that all could start to come down on a nomination of Tillerson. And there's not a lot of running room for Trump on Tillerson's nomination. He can only afford to lose two votes. And if you have defense hawks like Lindsey Graham, like John McCain, like others who are putting the brakes on it, it's something the administration's going to have to respond to.
Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much, Todd.
You got it, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.